after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go too and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So we come to New Year. Alternatively, we come to Epiphany. We could be sad because we have left Christmas behind. All that we have is fond memories of food and family gatherings, of presents given and received. But our reading reminds us, and our drama reminds us, that we will always have the impact of the Christ child in our lives. Now, I guess you know that of the four Gospels, only Matthew and Luke record facts about Jesus' birth. Their accounts are completely different. So Luke tells us about the birth of John the Baptist. He tells us about the humility of Mary, and her wonder and her obedient submission to God. And in his second chapter, we learn of the journey to Bethlehem and the birth of the babe in lowly circumstances. He tells us of the visit of the angels and the shepherds, which make up so many of our carols. Matthew introduces us to Joseph, outlines his dilemma, the intervention of an angel through the dream, and his obedience as he takes Mary as his wife. And chapter 2 gives us this remarkable account of the Magi, kings, wise men, who knows. This incident happens very much later than the actual birth. It may have been weeks, it may even have been months. And Mary and Joseph and Jesus are living in a house in Bethlehem. The beautiful Christmas cards, which often show the Magi bowing down before the babe in the manger, sometimes with the shepherds in the background, have not really taken account of Matthew in chapter 2. The wonderful nativity plays that we will have enjoyed in the preparation to Christmas with the children in schools and in churches are actually using poetic license to portray the happenings of the first Christmas. And they're wonderful, aren't they? Well, Janet agrees with me. Thank you. We usually assume that there were just three angelic visitors. But again, who knows? There may have been many more. They came from the east, probably from Persia or Iran. Interesting that Iran is so much in the news at the moment, isn't it? But they arrived. They followed a star. They were men of knowledge. They were mystics. Magi, we call them. They were very clever people. And many people have tried to explain in their cleverness how the star arrived, what it was and how it came to guide them. It doesn't actually matter, does it? The thing that matters is that they did follow a star and they did get there and they did worship and they did give gifts. In Matthew's account, he talks about three different groups of people. He talks about King Herod, he talks about the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and of course he talks about the Magi. We're going to begin with Herod. Herod the Great ruled from 37 BC to 4 BC. So in fact we've got Jesus' birthday a little bit wrong, not that that matters either. Herod was a sly man, he was a despot, he assassinated several of his family members so that they couldn't replace him. He feigned curiosity when the Magi came. He called together his advisors to find out where the Christ was to be born. He then encouraged the Magi to go and find the child and then report back to me so that I may go and worship him also. Later, when he realized it, the Magi, having been warned in a dream, had not come back to him, his true nature came to the fore as he had his soldiers slaughter the boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years and under. What a horrendous thing to do, isn't it? You can't contemplate it. But of course, by that time, Jesus and his family had moved on to Egypt, the obedient Jesus, Joseph, having been warned in another dream. We're told very little about the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Maybe I am reading too much into verses 3 to 7, but they seem to me to be rather superior. They were asked, where is the child going to be born? They said, well, that's easy peasy. Look in the book of Micah and you will see that it tells you. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. They also seem to me a little bit apathetic. If I'd found a group of people who were telling me that the Messiah was going to be born and they were going to find him, I would have said, can I come? But not them. They were more concerned, as we learn later in the accounts in the Gospels, about keeping their petty laws and their traditions, like not picking ears of corn or carrying a bed or healing on the Sabbath. And then there were the Magi. What incredible guys they were. They probably travelled about 600 miles from Persia or Iran by camel. It would have taken them over a month, and of course a month to return. So they have devoted probably about 3 months to what could easily have been a wild goose chase. But it wasn't. They were determined, they were dedicated, and they were devoted to their cause. Having been led to the most obvious place, Jerusalem, they were put right by Herod's henchmen, and then they were led by the star to the house where the Christ child was now living with his mum and dad. The seeking, the worshipping Magi bowed down. The impact of the Christ child was such that they worshipped him, and then they offered him those interesting gifts that we've heard about already. Somebody has said, I wonder what would happen if the wise men had been wise women. They would, of course, have asked for directions. They would have set off earlier. They would have arrived in time to act as midwives. They would have cleaned the stable. And, of course, they would have brought practical gifts. In particular, a casserole and an apple crumble. Well, there are, of course, others involved in this epic account, Jesus and his mother and his stepfather, Mary and Joseph. What an amazing couple they were, weren't they? Totally obedient to God's will, no matter what changes it would bring to their lives, they followed him. St. Luke says that Mary pondered on all these things. I bet she did. Joseph was tuned into God through his dreams and obeyed him totally. And this is what kept the Holy Family safe during the early years. Then there is the Christ child. As I was preparing this, some words came into my mind, which I found out came from this hymn. The hymn starts, it's by Charles Wesley. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Then these words, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And those incredible words. A span, I think, is that much. And as you can see from the little baby there, a span is what a baby is. Our God, the creator of the universe, contracted to a span. Do you understand it? Incomprehensibly made man. Second verse is good as well, but I won't read that. St. Paul declared in his letters to the Colossians 1:15, Christ is the image of the invisible God. And a little bit later he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Do just consider those words, because this is the truth about Jesus, the Son of God. And we know that throughout his adult life, the Christ child continued to impact the lives of every person he met. Just think about some of the people we learn about in the Gospels. Mary Magdalene, the disciples, the blind men who he healed, the lepers who he touched, the three that he brought back from the dead. Every person that he met was changed by an encounter with the Christ child. His crucifixion was the end. Only it wasn't, because he rose from the dead. And in his risen life, he still has an impact on people's lives. There's one other group involved in our narrative today. Us. You and me. One of the carols we're going to sing in a minute is In the Bleak Midwinter. And the last verse asks the question, what can I give him, poor as I am? And it ends, give my heart. So what can I give him? Well, firstly, I can give him my life as I come to him and ask him to be my saviour, accepting the love that he wants to give to me. Secondly, I can submit to him as Lord and give him my love. And thirdly, I can allow him to fill me, to fill you, day by day with his Holy Spirit, and to use us in his kingdom work here in Stabekk and Harrogate and Knaresborough and Wetherby and Ripon and all around the world, to share his love with everybody that we meet. So the reality of the new year 2020 is that Jesus is still in the business of impacting lives. I pray that he will impact you and he will impact me with his love, for the good of his kingdom and his glory. Amen.